Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. I just want to send everyone a happy Thanksgiving. I hope that your day was great and that you're continuing into the weekend. And I just want to say that I am so grateful for all of you and for all of you that tune in here, that call in here, that share my show with everyone. I am grateful for you. And we've got another great show for you today. And of course, my first guest is David Dye. And he basically helps human-centered leaders find clarity in uncertainty and drive innovation and achieve breakthrough results. And I love this story. I was reading a little bit more about him. But after 2 decades as an executive and elected officer, David and his wife, Karen, founded Let's Grow Leaders. And I'm excited to hear this because there's a little interesting story. They were both doing it from different places and realized that they were pretty much writing the same book. And so, of course, his newest book is Tomorrow Together, Essays of Hope in Healing and Humanity. David, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Kim, it is my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, tell us the story of you and your wife. I love stories like this because I always think all the right people show up in my life, you know, and it sounds like that's exactly what happened with you two.
Oh, it really did. We were both writing in the leadership space online, and that's where we first met one another, was through one another's leadership writing about 10, 12 years ago. And we realized we were really aligned. We met at a conference, said, yeah, we need to collaborate on a white paper, a book, article, something. And had a couple of those conversations and eventually decided to write a book together. I was living in Denver. She was in Maryland. We wrote the first book. It's called Winning Well, A Manager's Guide to Getting Results Without Losing Your Soul. And that was published. And shortly, just around the time it was coming out, we realized there was a lot more going on than just co-authors.
I love that. That is so cool.
We had become really good friends. And so we eventually ended up trying it out, dated, got married, merged our businesses, and that's where we are today.
Beautiful, beautiful. So let me ask you, so you've written 4 books, including what? Courageous Cultures, How to Build Teams of Micro Innovators, Problem Solvers, and Customer Advocates, Winning Well, A Manager's Guide to Getting Results Without Losing Your Soul. And then, of course, this one. Are they all similar? Are they all building on each other? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Related but different. Winning Well is really a soup-to-nuts guide for managers. So if you are newer in your management career or looking for some performance enhancement, that's going to help you there. Courageous Cultures is really about how you build cultures of teams and organizations where everyone's coming to work thinking about how to solve problems, to advocate for customers, to micro-innovate every day, and how you build cultures where that's the norm and the leadership that goes with that. Tomorrow Together is a little bit different. It's very much more about the humanity. It's a collection of essays. Some of them are my own life stories. Others are observational essays about different things in history or occurrences or things that have interested me. But they're all about the premise that if we're going to build a better future for all of us, A, we can do it. Even though it looks challenging sometimes, we can do it. But it's going to take us reaching out to one another with curiosity and empathy to get there.
You know what? I love that. And, you know, I always say we're all better together. And so I so love this together. And so how did you get Tomorrow Together?
How did I get there? So it was, you know, during the pandemic, I was realizing that I really had something burning in me to get out. And this collection of essays I had been writing for a couple of years and realized there was a through line that had this message of hope. And in the middle of a lot of discouragement for a lot of folks, there's hope. And I don't take that lightly. I can wrestle with, you know, depression and those things. And so that hope is not just a flippant kind of hope. It's really based in how we're looking at one another and the variety of perspectives we have and all the things that we have to offer to one another if we can get past ourselves to get there.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, so tell us, I know you also have a company, correct?
Yeah.
You and your wife run. Talk to us about how do you grow leaders? Like, you know, as our listeners are out there, we're at the end of this year, reaching into 2023. What are some great things to get ready or to even look back? I always say, like, what worked, what didn't work, you know, and how to look forward and do something different. That's my my new thing is DSD, do something different.
DSD, I love it. Do something different. So, yeah, Let's Grow Leaders is that we're a global leadership consultancy. We work with leaders around the world. Our focus is on very practical leadership and management skills from the executive strategic level all the way to frontline tactical management leadership tools. And so you can go to our website, letsgrowleaders.com, and there are all, so we have thousands of free resources and articles there to help you. But in the do something different category, first thing I'm going to recommend is what I call look down the mountain. I'm a big hiker. I love hiking Colorado's 14,000-foot mountains when I can get out there. And
wow,
they're tough. You get winded.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And about 13,000 feet, you're wondering, can I do this? Well, one of my favorite things to do is turn around and look down the mountain and say, wow, look at all that ground I have already covered. And if I could get that far, well, I can get the rest of the way up. And so celebrating what we have done as we're looking at the what we're going to do differently, let's acknowledge what we did do and celebrate that so it gives us the energy and momentum to push forward.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so when people are working with you, how do they, you know, like what you don't know, but how do you teach them how to run their leadership and to move forward?
Well, there are, the good news is that when it comes to leadership and management across industries, there are a number of principles that every leader, every manager can use. And starting with clarity around what matters most, what success looks like, there are communication principles of how am I communicating to minimize headache, heartache, frustration, ships passing in the night. And so equipping leaders with those tools, like the things that we call check for understanding, scheduling the finish, that are mutual conversations. They're not dictatorial things. They're conversations that you have with your team to support them in their performance. So these fundamentals, if we can get those nailed down, then that allows us to build the kinds of cultures where, you know, people are not dealing with toxic courage crushers and they're able to bring their best self to work every day and really engage with the possibilities.
Right. You also teach how to build teams, correct? And
yeah.
And you call them micro innovators. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, micro innovation. So I like to think of the Honeycrisp apple when it comes to micro innovation. You know, it dominates the apple market in grocery stores today. But if you go back to the early 80s and you go into a grocery store, there's two apples. There's red ones and there's green ones. Well, the Honeycrisp and the Fuji and all the ones like it, they're micro innovations. They revolutionized their industry, but it's not a different food. It's not even a new fruit. It's an apple, but it's a better apple.
Wow.
And what I know is that everyone on your team has those kinds of micro innovation ideas that will improve performance, efficiency, and outcome for your customer, the service you're providing, those day-to-day enhancements. But we have to learn how to ask for them and how to surface them. They're not just going to happen on their own.
And so how do you do that?
Well, number one, get clear about where you really need a great idea. Where could you, as a team leader, let's say you're a manager or a business owner, where do you most need a great idea? Get really clear about that, and then get really specific in your ask. So let's say that we need to work on our customer retention. We can say, hey, folks, what's one thing that we're doing that's driving away customers? What's one, if you could fix one thing? And you may get 15 or 20 different ideas, but what surfaces? What are you hearing a theme of? And then let's work on that. And then let's do it again.
Beautiful.
So we call that a courageous question. The best ideas are not usually going to walk through your door. You know, people say, oh, I've got an open door. They're probably not walking through your door. You got to go ask. Sometimes people don't know they have a good idea until you ask for it.
Wow, that's great. And so do you work with teams or do you work with individuals?
Yes. Primarily, we'll work inside of organizations, and we love working with the entire executive team and all the leaders and managers throughout a company, but sometimes we'll just work with one segment of their managers or leaders or one specific team that is wanting to work together. And then inside of that, we'll do individualized coaching for specific leaders who are wanting to go a little bit deeper in what they're learning.
Wow. I just want to share with our listeners that are just waking up. I hope that you all had an incredible Thanksgiving. And of course, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, where we give you lots of tips and tricks and things that people have shared and are sharing on my show. And we love to share them with you. Right now, we're talking with David Dye and, of course, his book, Let's Grow Leaders, a training firm, basically him and his wife. But not only that, it's really just putting hope and healing in humanity back in the world. And what a perfect time to be sharing that here on Thanksgiving weekend. David, let me ask you a question. Who did you learn from? And also your wife, Karen, how did you both find your leaders in you?
Ah, that is such a good question. One of the things I'm going to say is that sometimes some of the best leadership textbooks we can have are poor leaders. And people who we work with or have worked for go, oh boy, I never want to do that. And so what lessons do they have to teach us? Those are some of the very best textbooks we can get. But from there, I've learned from a number. So I've had some of those, unfortunately, and so did Karen. But I've also had really good leaders who have taught me things. And Sue, one person comes to mind, Sue was an early supervisor of mine, who taught me the importance of recognizing the values, strengths, and gifts in every single team member and really bringing all of those to the table rather than trying to do everything yourself. So just as an example, that's one person I would cite.
Wow, that's perfect, because they say that if you're the one that's filing, if you're the one that's, doing half the things, then you're really an assistant. You're not a leader. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, because leadership is about inspiring.
I mean, we all have to get our hands and, dirty and do stuff, right? I mean, we all need to do, you know, maintenance, I guess you would call it. But how do you break down so that you can not be above anybody, because I used to say, you know, to any of my team, I wouldn't ask you to do something I wouldn't do. But at the same time, I hired you to do these things so that I could free myself up to do other things. Is that correct?
Yes, because there are the things that only you can do as a more seasoned senior, different perspective, different skill set. There are things that you can do that are unique to you, and you need time to do those. As a leader, the principle you're talking about of I wouldn't ask somebody to do something I wouldn't do is true as well of rolling up our sleeves, and we're not above anything. Here's the way that I like to think about it. If you just flip over your org chart, so instead of having a team, then they're all dotted lines or lines beneath you, just flip the chart over, and now you're supporting your team. And visually, it makes it really clear you're in a position of supporting the team to be able to do the work that they need to do. And you do that by doing the work only you can do.
I love that. Do you have an orchard by any chance?
I'm sorry, do I have
an orchard?
An orchard, like with fruit trees?
Yes.
Boy, I wish I did. Okay,
because you relate to that a lot. So I just thought maybe that's one of your passions, you know? So
I love nature, I love trees, and I love fruit, but I don't have an orchard.
Okay. Just wondered. So let me ask you, if we could leave, you know, we have a couple minutes more, and if somebody was starting with you and they're finishing up their year, they're in a great place, maybe let's just do two sides. They're in a great place. Business has been okay. What would you tell them? What would be their first thing that you should concentrate on and help them with?
Are they in alignment with their own values? So when we're reflecting on the outcomes can be there. And then the next question is, okay, that's good. Are we in alignment with our own values about what matters most to us as a human being, or if we're in a kind of a business type setting, what are our values in our culture, and is that where we want it to be? So life is about the results we're achieving, but it's also about the relationships that we're investing in and we're building. And are both of those where we want them to be? If so, great. If not, let's work on that. But if they are, then fantastic. Let's build on that platform, that foundation, and ask, okay, what would success look like for next year? And do that visualization exercise and put yourself on December 31st, 2023, and you're visualize it, smell it, taste it. What's happening? What's going on? And then look back at the year behind you. What did it take to get there? And then you can start thinking through and embodying some of those projects, tasks, outcomes, relationships on your calendar.
That's beautiful. So you're talking about reverse engineering, correct?
Yeah, through a visualization exercise. Definitely.
Yeah, and so do you do a lot of visualizing in your business?
I do. You know, we talk about what the ideal looks like for us in terms of the work we want to be doing. I just ran my first ultra marathon, just ran just under 33 miles a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. It was quite a day for me. But that visualization of running that race in my head and envisioning the pain and getting through it and all the difficulty, like our brains are incredible instruments if we can invest in that.
I love that. David, a pleasure to talk with you. And how do my listeners find your book? I would love one of your books too. I mean, there's so many of your books. I'd love to have you back on to talk about, you know, winning well. I mean, you've got some great books, and maybe have your wife join us.
Oh, well, we would love to do that. And we're still working. We'll get that next one out here in another year or two, I think. But so the current book that we're talking about today is called Tomorrow Together, Essays of Hope, Healing, and Humanity. You can go to tomorrowtogetherbook.com and you'll find it there. Or letsgrowleaders.com is our business site. And again, there are so many different leadership management resources available for you there. They're all free. And also feel free to connect with us on all the socials, LinkedIn in particular.
There you go. Well, definitely connect with me. And thank you again for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Download our podcast and share us with everyone.
Fantastic. Kim, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You are so welcome. All right. Take care. And for our listeners, we're going to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Even good people can end up under investigation or facing a criminal charge. Ridley Defense can help start getting your life back on track. Bringing on a premier criminal defense team like Ridley Defense as early as possible gives you the greatest potential for a favorable outcome. Learn how Ridley Defense can help. Call 805-208-1866 for a complimentary consultation about your case. Ridley Defense provides the very best criminal defense representation you'll find in Ventura, Santa Barbara, and Los Angeles. They are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. For more information, visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Ridley Defense can help heal you and your family during the criminal justice process. Ridley Defense handles everything from DUI to the most serious crimes, including major felonies and appeals. Get a premier criminal defense team on your side. Visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com or call 805-208-1866 today.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for being here. We've got an incredible show going. And before I introduce my next guest, I really want to just take a moment to just say that I am so grateful for all my sponsors. And starting off with TNT Anger Management, their phone number is 818-264-6255. Littlefoot Construction, 805-491-2759. E-Woman of Calabasas, the Manhattan of Camarillo, 805-388-5550. Main Street Mortgage, 805-433-5842. Ridley Defense, 805-208-1866. Survival with Kim, 805-620-7177. And then Web Weaver Consulting, Debbie, and that is 805-246-1363. Caneo Valley Lifestyle, Nabo of Ventura, and my newest sponsor, Ruth Kant. With that, I just want to say, you know, I love when people believe in you, and thank you so much to all of them. So with that saying, I would love to bring on my next guest, and of course, Norman Thatcher. He is the CEO of TNT Management, and we're going to talk a little bit because of the holidays, but it's so prevalent in our news. Every single day is anger management and the loss of power and control. Norman, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim. Always glad to talk to you and be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Talk to us. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Well, I am planning on, I am very blessed and thankful for Thanksgiving, especially this year, because my son just got married last Monday.
And this will,
thank you. And this will be my granddaughter's first Thanksgiving. She's 5 months old and just couldn't be more excited to spend time with our new extended family and her first Thanksgiving.
Oh, so beautiful. That's what life's all about, is really just sharing those moments and really taking them in. So congratulations, and I love that. So I know that all we hear about is anger and loss of management, really, and the power and control. Talk to us about that. And at first, tell us a little bit about TNT, anger management.
Well, TNT Anger Management is a office practice in Westlake Village. I've been in private practice for 16 years now. And basically, it is a format for people to kind of bring in their issues, their stressors, their anger, their communication problems. And, you know, after the consultation, we together work on ways to identify and implement ways to make anger management symptoms and stress management symptoms improved. And it's not perfect. You know, there will always be continued anger, but I think a lot of us would be appreciative if there's just some improvement, because anger can be motivating and it is part of our everyday living for everybody. So that's basically the philosophy of TNT Anger Management Services, is to get in, make an appointment, and we'll start working on individuals, couples, court mandations, if that's something that they're working on, and hopefully improve as the weeks go on.
There you go. And let's just start off with your website so that our listeners know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. My website is www.tntams.com.
There you go. I love it. You've done a great job. I know that you're working on a new website, and people can actually book appointments and find out more information right off there, correct?
Correct. Yes, I'm excited about the new updated website, and hopefully it's easier to channel and get information if it's just something that you're thinking about and want to get just an idea, so it's not so frightening just making a cold call to somebody. You can look at the website and say, hey, this is something that I think might be beneficial to myself and my family, and look it over and give me a call, an email when you think you're ready to meet. And the consultation is free to address and just see if this is something that is going to be helpful for you.
Wow, that's beautiful. So let me ask you, Norman, you know, when people, who needs your help? I mean, you do a lot of couples, correct? You do a lot of teens. Do you work with children too?
I do. I work with individuals, families, and couples. So with couples, it's, you know, basically a lot of communication skills that are lost during the exchange of, you know, either agitation or stress or whatever it could be. And unfortunately, that's what leads to, you know, up to 40% of the divorce rate in our country right now.
And after working with a couple, have you seen where they could actually save their marriage?
Yes, as long as they keep working on it, marriage is work, relationship is work, and if it's something that is at the top of your priorities to keep this relationship going, you'll put the work in. It's not just going to happen overnight and just on a wimp and a prayer, but it is something that you have to continue to work on. And if you take your own responsibility for your own behavior and don't blame others, start with yourself. That's the starting point. And when you have two people that want to work together, that's probably hooks back to why you are in that relationship with that special individual in the first place.
I love that. Talk to us about, you know, management loss of power, control. What is the cause of that? What goes back into why people actually lose it?
Well, here's the interesting part. We all have, you know, 9 basic emotions of love, joy, shame, sad, fear, shame, disgust, and of course, last but not least, anger. So with the anger of control and loss of control, I think any one of us can look back, whether it's 10 minutes ago, 10 days ago, or 10 months ago, the last time we can look back and actually see ourselves losing our emotional balance. And there's so many different reasons for things that happen in life of what we can do to put that power back in control. So what is one thing I do want to emphasize that there is a implemented skill that can be taught of getting yourself back in, quote, self-control. And the important part of the whole message is this is something that can be taught as a youth. So it's not like you have to wait till college and take a course on it. This is something that emotional intelligence can be taught as a youth. And I think that if you look at the causes of what angers people or what gets them, you know, out of balance with their emotion of stress and anger, there are implementations and things that people can do. We call them interventions, whether it's hiring a life coach or getting a therapist or listening to some calming music, doing painting, just the soothing things of life, just to kind of take that moment and say, hey, what's going on here? This isn't who I am. And just really kind of get yourself back into the emotional balance, which we all strive to do.
I love that. I love that. I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, we're talking with Norman Thatcher. He's the CEO of TNT Anger Management and does such an incredible job in our community. I love working with you and sharing and, you know, sending people to you. Everybody really, you kind of work with them to have a plan, correct?
Correct, yeah. So in the you know, every client is individualized according to their individual situations. So basically, we implement it in nursing. We call it a treatment plan. In the office, we call it, you know, just classes. And basically, it's a progression of what goals are we trying to achieve in the long run, in the short run, because that's something that, hey, if there's a plan and we implement a plan, that's the starting of getting some progression starting and measuring how it's progressing. One thing I did want to add is a couple ways, actually, the three ways to get the power back of if you are just in a tizzy or a frenzy of trying to get your power back is the first thing is identify your values. Is what is the value of why are you in this situation of this moment? Second of all, you can only take responsibility for yourself. So when you complain and whine and cry, okay, you have a little moment of kind of a pity party. That's okay. But most people don't want to hear about your complaints. So you take responsibility for yourself and get yourself back into your emotional stabilization. And then the last one is understanding, why do I think I'm losing control? I mean, there's both situational stressors and situational things that cause, you know, anger and stress. And then there's things that we can implement or proactively use to decrease stress or anger. So if you know you're consistently late to work 5 minutes, you know, it's, hey, here's something I can implement. Leave 10 minutes early. And if you catch an extra red light, hey, you're not sitting at a stoplight for 2 minutes just brewing and stirring that you're getting upset because you're another 2 to 3 minutes late with that.
I love that, Norman. You know, and let me ask you, do you work with people on this? Like, what frustrates them? You know, I mean, you see all the street anger, all that stuff. I mean, is that what you're pulling out of the people? Like, why would you be angry about that? Okay, here's some plans that we can put into action.
Yeah, that's the whole implementation of the program. Because some people, when they, I'd say probably 80% of the clientele I get have never been in any kind of education class, never been in anger management. Yes, I get the mandations from the court, but a lot of people, their opening statement, look, I've never been in this. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what questions you're going to ask. And
right.
That's why I try to make
and
it as
scary. And you are so calming when people talk to you. I want you to give out your website one more time. And I just really want to say, if you know somebody in your family, or you know somebody at work that's just so stressed and they just need almost like a BFF, right? Somebody that could just be on their side and share something, definitely call Norman Thatcher at TNT Anger Management. Give out your website one more time.
Yeah, the website is www.tntams.com. And the one thing I did want to implement on is education classes is a separation of calling somebody that's outside of your family. So, you know, it's a professional intervention that we work towards and hopefully get a positive outcome.
I love it. Norman, happy holidays. Thank you so much for being here, and I can't wait to have you back on again. So enjoy.
Thanks.
And enjoy that new baby, and your congratulations to your son.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Everybody, happy Thanksgiving to your staff.
Thank you so much. All right, we are going to actually just go right into our next guest, and we've got Fran Tabor, and she is a small business owner with a survivor's attitude. And she wrote, a lot of different books. One is 10 Live Abundantly, Top 10 Live Abundantly, 50 Business Lessons. Also, It's a Secret, How to Compete Against Walmart and the Internet. I love it. This lady is on fire, and I can't wait to hear her story. And again, Fran, are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you very much, Kim, for letting me be on your program. I am so looking forward to it.
Oh, you are so welcome. Talk to us a little bit about you, who you are and where you're from. And you are just one strong lady, and I love it. You're going to inspire so many people just with really, you know, you. It's kind of like my dad always taught me to pick myself up, dust myself off, and keep going on. I think you had the same lesson.
But I am I've been a small business owner in a small town since the late 1970s.
Right.
Before that, my former husband and I started several businesses that we tried and failed. And each one was a learning experience. And then we finally found one that fit us, fit our desired lifestyle. And it's gone on from there.
I love it. I love it. Talk to us about your book, okay, as like what are your lessons that you talk about in your book, the 10 top?
Okay, the 10 top lessons would be, well, first of all, not to expect to do everything at once. Not to expect to have instant success, to have faith that if you keep trying, eventually things will work out. And the fact that we cannot tell good luck from bad luck.
And I like that. What do you mean by that?
Well, to me, the Bible story of Joseph best exemplifies how we cannot tell good luck from bad luck. That for your readers who are not familiar with the old story, Joseph sounds like he was absolutely a spoiled brat. He was his father's favorite among his 12 sons, and the other sons ended up being quite jealous of him to the point where they eventually ended up selling Joseph into slavery. So bad luck, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Good luck, he was bought by a decent guy. He ends up being the head slave because he's very responsible. Bad luck, his owner's wife decides he's cute and then ends up accusing him of attempting to rape her. So his owner has him thrown in jail. And there he is in a dungeon. And then he becomes the most trusted prisoner. And then he has more good luck. A servant of the Pharaoh ends up making friends with him, and he does the guy a favor, and he goes, oh, I'm going to put in a good word for you. Well, as soon as Pharaoh's servant is out, he forgets all about Joseph, and so more bad luck for Joseph. And then a few years later, the Pharaoh has his dream about the 7 healthy cows being eaten up by 7 skinny cows and 7 healthy grains of wheat being eaten up by the withered grains of wheat, and they end up getting Joseph out to interpret the dreams, and Joseph ends up being second only to Pharaoh, rescuing his whole family and bringing them to the safety of Egypt. But he was
able to
do that.
How did you use that in your business?
I took that as a sign that whenever something really bad happened, that maybe there was something about this that was actually good.
Mm.
And
so
that can be
hard to do.
You
definitely look at the brighter side of life.
Absolutely. And you have to have faith that there is a sunnier side of life. And you have to see failures as a chance to learn more and to stretch yourself more. And it gives you a stronger can-do spirit, gives you more of an ability to keep trying, to keep learning. And when you have that attitude, you end up also encouraging others around you to do more, to work through the problems of their life, and for them themselves to keep learning. And then you also naturally just want to end up teaching other people around you.
I love that.
Teaching is one of the underrated keys to small business success.
I love that.
You go on. What was your question?
Well, I wanted to ask you, you also have a book that talks about how to compete against Walmart and the internet. How is that possible?
Well, first of all, you do not try to compete directly against Walmart or the internet. You say, what can I do that is different than what they are? And for instance, I have a small brick and mortar business. And you have one of the things I realized early in the game is why my business made my community a better community because my business existed.
Wow.
When you are working for more than just the money you can make, when you know you are working to make your community better, it gives your motivation a different level. And when you teach that to your employees, that, hey, we're not just working for money here, we are working to make other people's lives better, it changes their attitude towards their friends and neighbors and towards the customers. And it also encourages them to learn more, because most people want to see themselves as good guys.
So many business
owners, especially small business owners, think that it's for the money, or they think it's obvious what their business does, and they fail to educate their employees, especially, hey, we're doing this because people are willing to pay money for what we have to offer because it will make their lives better. And as
That's
a small
beautiful.
Business person, you can personalize whatever it is you have to offer in a way no big business ever can. Because you are dealing with people, they are dealing with mass numbers.
So it's more intimate. So I love that. Let me ask you a question. You shared a personal story with me, that you nearly lost everything. And when you were working so hard to keep everything going and you skipped some of your physicals, I just want you to share that with our listeners, because if we could help anybody, we'd be... That's what I do my show for. So share that. We have a couple minutes left.
The most important asset to your business is your own personal health and well-being. If you neglect your personal health, you are hurting your business. A few years back, I started being sleepy all the time. I gained 60 pounds in less than a year. I was also on a small thyroid dose. And my new doctor refused to renew it without a thorough examination first, which I thought was a waste of time, but I went along with it. It turns out anybody who takes any type of thyroid supplement is more apt to develop thyroid cancer than 95% of women are of ever developing breast cancer. Anybody taking thyroid should be feeling their throat every morning, looking for any lumps. I had thyroid cancer. I had it removed, and then I stopped sleeping so much, and I woke up, and I discovered that when I was sleeping, because when you're asleep at the wheel, whether you're driving a car or driving a business, you have a wreck. And I had two employees who were embezzling from me. I entered 2008, the year of the recession, owing more money than I had ever owed in my life. I was ashamed of having been so negligent that the embezzlements even happened. So I went to the fast credit of MasterCard and Visa, and I had an insane amount of credit available to me, maxed them out, and then I discovered something I did not know before. Credit cards that are maxed out are a different rate than credit cards that are paid off every month. and I went from 1% to 3% interest rates to 15% to 29% interest rates, and at nearly $200,000, this was devastating. I swallowed my pride, went to my bank, and they said, Fran, if you would have come in 2 months sooner, we would have just refinanced your building, no problem. We know you're good for it, but the banking laws have changed. I can't do it.
Fran, we're at the end of this, but you have, you have such a story and such an inspiration. I thank you so much for sharing it here. How do our listeners find you in
Amazon? And they're also through Draft to Digital. And look up Fran Tabor, T-A-B as in boy, O-R. And
thank you,
Tabor
Fran.
Plus live abundantly.
There you go. I love it. Happy holidays to you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great one. And Fran, please download our podcast and share our show with everyone.
I'm looking forward to it, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and to all of your readers, and let them know that bad times are really the seeds for good times.
There you go. Thank you, dear. All right, we are going to go into our last guest, and of course, Victor Gomez is the executor director, Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse, and we're going to talk with him, and let's join them. And joining me today is Victor Gomez. He's the executive director for Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. And this is kind of new to me. So I'm excited to kind of learn a little bit more. And so maybe you can start off with just explaining more about the legal system abuse. And thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. Really appreciate the opportunity. Well, essentially, you know, there are times when a consumer or a victim of an accident needs an attorney or wants to at least engage with an attorney. But in many cases, an attorney is actually not needed. And because they work themselves in by spending so much money advertising out there in the California market, and you see these ads, you see these billboards everywhere, they really just want a piece of something that should be really rewarded to you, right? And so in many cases, attorneys, these plaintiff attorneys, really just drive up costs. And at the end of the day, us as Californians end up paying for those excess costs that, again, are taken by these plaintiff attorneys.
So can you give us an example of something that you're talking about so that our listeners can kind of really get a picture of what it is?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's, you know, look, we all pay the price for these lawsuits no matter what. But, you know, I guess an example for me would be third-party litigation, right? That's a big issue. So in many cases, consumers that feel that they are going to be receiving a settlement in the future will actually get a loan for from a third-party lender. That lender will actually charge them these ridiculous amount of interest rates. And the plaintiff will then not want to settle. They don't want to settle because they know that they're going to have extra costs. So that increase in settlement in many cases drives up the costs of the payouts. And at the end of the day, we as consumers end up paying those extra costs.
So let's just say this big, huge storm that happened in Florida. And, you know, now obviously everybody needs to rebuild. And so we call, I've heard it called this before, storm chasing contractors, right? Or, you know, I know there's a lot of amazing contractors out there. We are contractors in my family. But there are people that do, I guess what you would call is ambulance chasers, right? Instead of going out there and being fair. I mean, even the economy right now, prices are gouging all over the place. And is that the kind of thing that you feel is impacting our community, our world right now and in everywhere?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm in California. I mean, we see it with fires here in California. But yes, in Florida,
correct.
That's a perfect example,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, I mean, that's a perfect example, Kim. We're seeing these, you know, catastrophic events happening everywhere. I actually just came from the East Coast, and, you know, we were confronted with another hurricane. But in many cases, you have, as you mentioned, these storm chasers, these contractors that are out there really filing these frivolous claims, right? That with, and in many cases, not even fixing the issue, right? If there is an issue, in many cases, it's fraudulent. And they're saying, hey, look, this happened to my home, or the contractor saying, look, report this victim, right? And we will get you the payout. You keep the money. We keep a portion of it. Nothing ends up actually getting fixed. But us as consumers, because of these additional payouts that our insurance companies have to pay, we then have to pay the price in the future because of these storm chasers. So you're right, Kim. That's a huge issue. That's fraud. That's criminal activity, and certainly something that needs to be addressed.
Well, what the back, I guess the black backflow of it is all of our insurances are going through the roof, right? People can't even really afford to have insurance if we keep going on this road. So what needs to be done to resolve this problem?
Well, look, I mean, we really need some common sense reforms. Transparency is critical, right? Specifically, again, in third-party litigation where you're seeing these class action lawsuits, and really that's kind of turned into the next Las Vegas, right? It's turned into the next opportunity to gamble, right? But transparency is needed. Common sense reforms are needed. Really to fix this this issue. The Florida legislature and the governor took positive steps to address the crisis during a special session this summer. However, a lot more needs to be done. And we were encouraged by Governor DeSantis, and he announced his intentions to call a special session in December to consider additional reforms. That's really what we need other states to look at, right? States like California, states up and down the East Coast. We really need to look at these reforms that we have some light out there at the end of the tunnel by some of these states that are actually taking these necessary steps. But this is really just a start. And again, if these reforms take place, we all end up, with more money in our pockets. And look, under the current inflation and things we're going through in our nation, there's no better time to pass these reforms.
Right. And, you know, Victor, I wanted to say, and believe me, I'm all for contractors, but it's not only happening in building. It's happening with COVID, medical. There's so many controversies of what's happening and being covered up, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Situation, medically, people are saying that it's COVID so that they can get money for it as opposed to, somebody dying from something else. So it's happening everywhere. And so nobody is kind of left out of this. Would you agree?
I would totally agree. Look, I mean, when COVID first hit, us, we were concerned, right? A lot of families were concerned. We hunkered down and we really kept ourselves protected from the virus. But trial attorneys really, really just saw this as an opportunity. The trial attorneys really just saw this as another opportunity to make money, right? And if businesses were not protecting, if businesses were in a position where a consumer felt like they weren't protected, trial attorneys knew that. And they said, you know what, this is a great opportunity for us to sue. And look, at the end of the day, I spent 17 years, Kim, in the franchise industry. I was a franchisee for a large pizza chain here in California. And I'll tell you, anytime there's a rise in costs, in many times, like 90% of the times, those costs are going to be passed down to the consumer. So again, if we see these trial attorneys ramping up advertising under COVID, we know that they're ramping up advertising because they're seeing an opportunity, right? And unfortunately, their opportunity is our loss.
Unfortunately, that is human nature. But I mean, we have a shortage. There was a time where there was a shortage of baby food. Okay, that's putting our children at risk. There's just so many. We've never in our time, at least in my time, ever seen such a shortage. Even medication. One of my grandchildren couldn't get any antibiotics. So it's happening all over. Is there something that we as the public can really do?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, there's a lot of issues that we're going to be dealing with moving forward when it comes to lawsuit abuse. But really, what you're doing here today and warning consumers about what's going on with these frivolous lawsuits is critical, right? Them contacting their legislators, their local government, and letting them know what's happening is critical. So we're not facing these shortages. So, you know, our truckers out there could get back to work and do what they need to do to move commerce around. That is critical. We all pay the price. Here in California, it's really a huge tort tax, and we nationwide, we all pay for that. And that's, again, transparency is critically needed in all of these legal abuse issues.
Victor, so where do we go and where can my listeners learn more about this?
Thank you again for the opportunity to be here with you today, Kim. I would encourage folks to visit the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Institute for Legal Reform. That is a great resource. And I would also encourage you to visit the American Tort Reform Association website, ATRA.org. You could find quite a bit of information that would be helpful as a consumer. And you could also visit us here in California. You could visit us at CaliforniaCALA, CaliforniaCALA.org, to learn more about our work and what we're trying to do to help consumers protect themselves as well.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Victor, and have a great day. And I appreciate you sharing this with our listeners.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kim.
Take care. Bye-bye. What a great show. Some inspiration. I hope that you learned some great things. And of course, I hope that you continue to have an incredible Thanksgiving weekend. I'm so grateful for all of you. And I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Take a moment to tell everyone that has made a difference in your life, thank you, and that they mean the world to you. You mean the world to me. Thank you again for listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.